Thank you for joining us here at Christ Fellowship for our online message podcast.
I'm Chris Ball. I'm the multimedia director here, and I just want to thank Derek for the opportunity to get to share with you today. Before we do anything, there's a confession I need to make. All right, so we're in this rally cap series, which gets its name from a sports reference. And to be honest, I'm not that big of a sports guy. I mean, whatever ambitions I may have had in sports, they just quit growing whenever I did. I don't know, just playing basketball and staring at everybody's belly buttons, just, just wasn't satisfying deep down for me. But anyway, moving on. We're in this series, and what we've been doing is we've been looking at people that have been up against some crazy odds, and really the only way through has been for there to be a rally. And so, you know, when I found out I was going to get to speak today, I was like, okay, you know, who in the Bible can I pull from? And almost immediately, John the Baptist came into my mind. So I was like, all right, you know, and specifically the time when he was in prison, really struggling with some pretty intense doubts. Doubts like, Jesus, are you really who you say you are? And if you are, why am I going through what I'm going through today? And I don't know if you can resonate with that, but I know for me, I've seen myself in that story. You know, I've gone through this seasons of intense doubt. And so I was like, okay, you know, we can go and we can pull from this. But there's only one problem. I'd forgotten how John's story ended. And well, not only does he die in prison, but it's a pretty gruesome way. He's beheaded. And so I don't know if that really inspires the hope that we're looking for today. And so I was like, okay, you know, we can't use John here for this one. But you know, I think the story of our lives, we all want it to play out a lot like the movie Rudy rather than Old Yeller. I don't know, have you seen Rudy? It's the underdog who gets put in the game and gets the win at the end and becomes the hero. Old Yeller, he's the faithful friend that, well, just doesn't make it in the end. And so, but I couldn't leave John that quick. John was in my heart at this point. And there was these questions that started to pop up, such as, can there be a comeback even if your circumstances aren't changing? Can there be a rally even if the results aren't what you would have hoped for? And is it possible that there is a spiritual rally that can occur, yet in the physical, it doesn't really manifest? And so there's these questions. And I think as we look into John's life, we will find some hope in there. Believe me, just hang on. But before we get there, I just want to lay a foundation for understanding the Holy Spirit. Because as we look at John's story, all throughout his story, the Holy Spirit is showing up. All right, and really, even in this prison experience that he has, I believe that it's a spirit issue, but also a spirit solution at the heart of this struggle. And so I don't know if you're like me, but for some reason, I've just always viewed the Holy Spirit as kind of being an additive or an enhancer. I mean, we got God the Father, the creator of all, and we need that. But we have Jesus, the Son of God, who is the forgiver of our sins. But it's just like, well, if we really want the Holy Spirit, let's get over there to add some pizzazz to our life. Let's just kind of spice it up a little bit with the Holy Spirit. And so it's almost like, I've had this sense that it was like the Holy Spirit wasn't really necessary in some ways. It's almost like optional, I should say. But I want to propose that the Holy Spirit isn't optional. He is essential. And really, I'd like to think of it this way. When the Holy Spirit is operating in our life, I mean, just think of it as far as navigating life. I mean, and so a simple example is, like, even 20 years ago, how did you navigate life? We used maps, we used our memory, or we would ask for directions. And so I actually remember going on road trips, and my dad had this big paper atlas that it would go with us everywhere we went. And really, but if you think about it, maps, they're limited in what they can do for you. I mean, they can get you close, but they don't do nothing to show you about construction that may be in the route, or detours, or even new roads that have been made since the map has been printed. So there's limitations there. What about the memory? If you're just navigating with your memory, well, I don't really need to say more than just the reputation that dads have gotten for getting lost and then just too prideful to ask for directions. I mean, there's some issues there, obviously. But what about asking for directions? I mean, really, you are at the mercy of whoever you come across, and that may be helpful, it may not be helpful. I mean, it may get you where you want to go or not. But if we look at where we're at today, almost every single person in this room has one of these, has a phone that has the ability to be connected to this information source that can tell us almost anything that we want to know almost instantaneously. And so beyond just having this information out there on our phones, we have these apps that are designed to help us use that information in meaningful ways. And so when I navigate now, I do not go anywhere without using the Waze app, all right? Is anybody on board with the Waze app? So not only does it tell me the quickest way to where I want to go, it'll warn me or give me updates as I'm driving saying, hey, there's traffic congestion up ahead. Why don't you take this road right here? And it's rerouting me. And it'll send me notifications saying, hey, there's a tire that fell off somebody's car up in the road ahead. Watch out for it. Or there's a car parked on the shoulder. And it'll even tell me that, hey, there's a bridge up ahead and there's a cop that's hiding out on the other side. And I'm just going to be honest, that is definitely my favorite feature by far. And you see that this app is designed to help us to not only navigate successfully where we're going and efficiently, but actually avoid a lot of unnecessary setbacks and obstacles along the way. And really that being connected to the Holy Spirit is kind of like that. Like it's something that's working in our life to help us to navigate life. And I came across this word as I was thinking about it, and it was the word transcendent. And really the definition, I love this, it says beyond or above the range of normal or merely human or physical human experience. So really, it's allowing us to tap into a resource that is beyond what we as a human can even know or see beyond our vision. And so not only is the Holy Spirit essential, he's and advantageous, because really the benefits that we're getting from being able to tap into this, but it's really at the core of our identities as well. I mean, just think of it this way. Our bodies, the thing that you dress, and the things that you look at in the mirror, maybe for better or worse, is not who you are. It's just merely a layer of who you are. But deep down inside, you are, at the core, a spiritual being. And so I just want you guys to track with me here, because understanding what's next is critical. So at the core, where your spirit is, it's spirit, and you are mind, and you are body. And really, these are made to work like a circuit, that they flow into each other. And actually, your spirit was designed to be in connection with God's spirit. So all life and truth would come down and fuel into your spirit and flow throughout your entire being. But there's a problem with this, because the Bible talks about how we're spiritually dead, that actually the spiritual part of our identity is just not firing, it's not working. And really, that's the reason that Christ had came, because he died and he rose again, that he could breathe life and create life and bring that part of ourselves back to life again. But right now, if we are apart from Christ, really we're just operating on just our minds and our bodies. Our minds and our bodies. And there's a sense that, you know, there's a part of ourselves that is missing. And so what we have the tendency to do is say, okay, if I can just think myself to wellness, if I can just process my thoughts in a way that things will be okay. Or if I just look to the physical and I say, okay, if I just diet, if I finally get to that diet that I've been planning, or if I just exercise, you know, I bought the treadmill, if I get on that, or if I take the medicine that really things will be all right. But really, even if we're good at that, and even if we're optimized in those areas, there's still a part of our identities that is dead and needs to be brought back to life. And so when Jesus comes in and we receive what he did on the cross and our spirit comes alive and that begins flowing, then all life and truth begins to influence your mind. And then it starts to influence your body. And it's almost like with each cycle around this circuit, the Holy Spirit begins realigning and correcting and actually enhancing us and guiding us through life, much like that Waze app that is working for us to help us to go where we need to go without the unnecessary stuff along the way. And so now we're going to get back to John. We haven't forgot about John, all right? So John is in a place where he is living in his identity, his true identity, and he is connected with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has guided him into the wilderness, which is basically a desert. All right, and this wasn't because, you know, like this wilderness isn't just some random place. It wasn't like there was a camel convention in Jerusalem, and so God's like, well, why don't you wait there until a room opens up? You know, it wasn't like that at all. We see all throughout Scripture where there's a lot of purpose to a wilderness, where God will actually bring his people into a time of the wilderness because it's there that he's preparing them and he's testing them for what's ahead. And I just want to stop there for a second because this isn't just a John thing and this isn't just a Bible people thing. This is a us thing as well. And so I just want to just create a visual around what a wilderness actually is. And I just want you to envision with me for a second, just close your eyes and envision a desert, just vast, as far as you can see, it's just sand. And so a wilderness time is one, it seems almost never ending as far as you can see. It just keeps going on and on and on. But as you scan the horizon with your eyes, just there's no landmarks. There's nothing that you can see. So there's nothing that's to give you a direction or even clarity about what's ahead as well. And really, it's a time as well that it's bare bones. There's a lack of possessions. You're down to the necessities. But also, it's not comfortable. I mean, you don't have the comforts that you would have back home. And also, there's an unsettledness, I think is the best way to say it, because just thinking, you're not going to plant your roots in the desert. You know, it's not going to build a home there. So it's like you're there, you're waiting, and it's just this unsettledness because you just don't know, I mean, what, am I building? Am I going? What am I doing? You're unsettled. And I think lastly, it's a lonely time. It's a season of loneliness. And you may even have people around you, but it's just inside you feel lonely. And really what this wilderness is producing in you, it's maxing out your mental and your physical capabilities. Because when those are maxed out, God wants to put all the focus on what's going on in your spirit. And so is it possible the wilderness that you're in right now is actually priming your spirit for what God wants to fulfill in your life? Because you see, the wilderness, it's a painful time. But pain is the passageway to the promises and the purposes of God for John and for us. So John is in this place and God gives the green light saying, okay, you know, the time has come, no more waiting. I'm giving you clear directions. I want you to go and start proclaiming this message to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Okay, well, I mean, that's good and all, but let's just reality check. Let's look at John. I mean, John has been in the desert for a long time. I mean, the Bible says he's eating bugs. He's wearing camel skin clothes. Probably hasn't showered in, you know, it's funky. It's funky at that point. And so are people actually going to come listen to this guy? I mean, just think, put yourself in that scenario. You know, when's the last time that you were in a big city? You see a bum-like looking guy talking about crazy things. I mean, is it your natural tendency to say, I'm just going to pull up a chair and see what this guy has to say? No, you immediately, you avoid eye contact, act like you're going somewhere on a mission, and you quickly hurry off because, I mean, they can be unpredictable. You just don't know. But this isn't what was happening. As John began to proclaim this message, not only did people listen, but they left their homes and they left the cities and they came to the desert to hear what he had to say. Which begs the question of why on earth would they do that? And I think it goes down to this, that John wasn't just speaking words out of his mouth. Remember, we said he was connected to the Holy Spirit. So the words that were coming out of his mouth were actually infused with the Spirit. And so as they came there and they heard the words and they went through their ears and into their minds, it actually went down and spoke to the deepest part of themselves, to their spirits, a place that they didn't even know was there. And essentially, there was a spiritual awakening that was happening. And it was in this place where it's like, wow, these words are touching a deep part of myself that I didn't even know was there. And they're aware of it. It was in that awareness that they saw that there was death, that there was brokenness, that their spirit could not even be connected to God's spirit because there was an issue on the deepest part of them that needed to be remedied. And so in this awareness and in this spiritual awakening, John said, okay, well, there's good news because the king of that realm that you are now aware of is here. I mean, like, he's literally here. He's like right over there. Jesus, that guy, he is the one that you need to go to, and he can bring the dead parts of yourself back to life. And he pointed them there, and people really were coming to life in the truest sense when they got around Jesus. But then something interesting happens. There's this handoff or transition moment that was about to happen. The Holy Spirit speaks to John and says, okay, John, there's a time coming where, you know, I had for this for you to do, but Jesus, he's the one that's going to take off with this. And people are going to go and flock to him. And so John's like, okay, like, I'm cool. That's awesome. I'm prepared for that. I mean, I want that to happen. I mean, he is the king. You know, he's going to run with this. But transitions are hard. And you got to think, especially when the guy that's coming after you is better than you. When they're taking on your job and doing a better job than you can do. And so you got to think that as Jesus began taking, John baptizes him, the Holy Spirit falls on Jesus, and so he confirms, okay, this really is the guy, and Jesus begins his ministry. And then the people start following Jesus that were once following John. And the people that were, you know, coming to talk to John are now talking to Jesus. And there's this place where I can just see the struggle in that. And it's in this place of struggle where he's dealing with that not long after that he gets arrested. And so that's where we kind of come back into that prison moment. And there's multiple times in scriptures where we see prison moments where it's like, okay, we got locked up. Let's just start singing a praise and worship song here. Let's just get that going, and the chains are going to come off, and we'll be back out there with Jesus in no time. Just so hopeful. But it wasn't like that. We're not picking up that vibe from this story. I mean, he was already down when he gets in the prison there. And I think he's starting to already wrestle with his questions of like, okay, like, I thought I was being led by the Spirit. I thought God was in this, but I mean, obviously, looking at where I'm at, God is not in this. And so I think he did what is just our natural tendency to do when we feel like God isn't coming through quick enough for us, as we say, okay, you're not there for me. I got this now. And we reach back for that map to start navigate through our lives, just saying, okay, you know, this helped me and gave me somewhat of a direction before. It wasn't perfect, but I'm going to grab back for that. Or I'm going to look back to my mind and say, you know, I was able to talk myself through this last time. And so if I can just talk myself and rationalize this situation, it'll be okay. Or if I ask the people around me, I mean, the guy's kind of crazy beside me, but maybe he'll say something that'll make me feel good. And so what we're doing is we're essentially closing ourselves off to the Spirit. And to use a sports term, hopefully Derek will be proud here, but we are stiff-arming the Spirit when we do that, when we go back to that old way of navigating life. And so it's here in this place, stiff-arming the Spirit, going back, operating with just the mind in the body, the mind in the body, that there's a downward spiral. So he's down, he's depressed, and he's doubting, intense doubts. And so it's here where John does probably the best thing that he could do is he takes these doubts to Jesus. He sends word and says, okay, are you the one who is to come or should I expect somebody else? basically saying, point blank, are you the Son of God? Because where I'm at, it doesn't seem like it right now. Let's be, and I love how real and how raw John is, just to put it out there and know that Jesus can handle it. And I love Jesus' response when that word comes to him and he hears that John's doubting. You know, Jesus wasn't surprised like, John? John's doubting? Are you sure? I mean, John wouldn't be doubting. Or, you know, he wasn't angry either. John, just tell him to suck it up. I mean, does he not remember all that happened before? No, Jesus' response was so Jesus, I should say. It was full of compassion and actually confidence that, okay, just tell him these words and everything's going to be all right. And the message that Jesus sent to John was this. He said, the blind see, the deaf, they hear, the lame, they walk, and the dead are raised. And I know my immediate thought when in hearing that message or those words is like, all right, Jesus, that's great for all those people over there where you're at that you're healing and you're doing all these things for, but that does nothing for me with where I'm at and what I'm going through. I mean, I'm still in this prison. How does that help me? Let's be real here. But it's awesome because we got to think about Jesus's words. His words are not just words. They're words because he is connected to God. So when he speaks, his words are also infused with the Holy Spirit. And so when John would have received those words, they would have gone on into his ears. And in the same way, when he was in the wilderness, connected to the Spirit and was speaking words that resonated in the brokenness of all the other people, Jesus' words would have done the same thing to minister to the brokenness in his spirit. And I love to think of it this way, that when that spark of the Spirit hit inside of him, it's like spiritual memories are stored on a spiritual server. So what he otherwise could not have seen because he was closed off to the Spirit, when there was the spark of that Spirit, it was almost like the memories came back of like, wow, God has been so faithful. I mean, he got me through the wilderness and all my life he's been with me and he's connected to me something much bigger than myself. God has been so faithful. And those memories flood. But as we look back at John's story, it's interesting because when Jesus spoke those words, we never hear how they were received. The next thing we hear is John is dead. And so we don't know if a rally happened. But all we can speak to is this, that if there was a rally, it would have been based on John's response. Because you see, when the Spirit begins to awaken and we see that brokenness, we all have that same choice. Either we are going to believe and receive what Jesus did on the cross and take that so our spirits can come back into alignment with God or come to life if that hasn't happened yet. So we believe and receive that, or we respond by saying, no, I'm just gonna, I got this now. But I can't help but think, after you've used your phone, after you've navigated life using this way of going, I mean, when you're reminded of that, can't you help but just run back to that way? And you see, it's not just about being or having the Spirit, just to have the Spirit. But God's heart in this is connection. That God wants to be connected to our lives and a part of our lives and to have a relationship there. And, you know, it's in this place of being connected. God knows that there's pain. There's pain that we all have to go through, but it's the passageway to the purposes and the promises that he has. So he wants to be there to help us, to be by our side, navigating that with us. And I'd say the most recent and fresh example of how this all works out is just 3 weeks ago, we had our third child, all right? And if you don't know this, the birthing process it's pretty painful from what I've witnessed, okay? I hadn't experienced it myself, but it seemed the looks were seemed very genuine on my wife's face. And so it's, they give you some techniques to help overcome this pain, or at least survive the pain. And two of them are breathing and focusing. And so first, just the breathing is something that's very essential. We do it naturally. We have to do it to live. And I was like, wow, there's symbolism in this. It's almost symbolic of the how we need the Spirit of God working and flowing into our life. Because as we take in this air that is apparently invisible, it's coming and it's manifesting in physical ways. As our lungs begin to expand in our chest, we see it moving. And as the oxygen flows through our blood and we're able to move and live, it's necessary. And so it's almost like to survive pain, we first have to be taking in life. And so it's almost like with each breath, we're getting back to the basics. And she's breathing in life, 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 helping her through the pain. But then the focus, and I'm just going to be honest here, I've never had somebody stare so intentionally at me in my life as my wife, as these contractions start coming on. But being the helper, the only helper that she had there, I mean, she was kind of at the mercy of what she got. I just stepped up, I manned up, all right, and got in there. And I love that they have this device on beside the beds. It's a Toco monitor, which allows you to see contractions coming up and down. And I like to call it the taco monitor. Apparently none of the nurses found that funny, as I did. But I continue to call it that. But I look at this taco monitor, and I could see the contractions before my wife could even feel them. And I said, hold her hand, and I'd say, okay, there's one coming on here. Embrace yourself. Let's start the breathing. Let's start taking that in. You're doing great. You're strong. Just keep it. You can fight through this. You got this. All right, it's coming down. We're making it through. And we get through these and helping her through it. But the thing is, I can't say how long it's going to take. I don't know if it's going to be a 2-hour or a 20-hour delivery. All I know is I can be there, and as long as she's fixed on me and we're working through this together, we can get through the process. We can fight through the pain, and actually it's the pain of that process that pushes out the promise. All right, and so pain is that passageway to fulfilling that. And so we had our little girl, which was awesome, and it's definitely holding that promise in those moments just changes it, and it's so worthwhile because we can't even envision what is on the other side of what God has for us. And so for us, I mean, our lives are in so many different places, and we don't know what rallies we're going to have to come up against. I mean, because life throws us some very unique challenges. But really, this is an invitation that God is saying. He's like, no, if you see something, if my Spirit is speaking to that deep part that is inside of you now, reach out, believe and receive what I've made available to you, because not only do I want you to be living holy and to be living connected to my Spirit and all the advantages that come with that, I want to walk through whatever is going to come against your life. And you see, a couple years ago, we had two pregnancies that did not work out this way, that we don't have pictures to show a child about. And it was a very hard time, but living connected and having God speak into us saying, you know what, like, I don't have an answer for you right now. I can't tell you why this happened, but all I can tell you is I love you, and we're going to get through this together, and there's better days ahead. And I can't tell you just how much for me and my wife to be able to have that support just completely changed how we otherwise would have experienced that very tragic loss. And so, you see, I just want to leave you with this, that when you receive and when you allow God and start rallying with God, it'll change everything. Because with man, this is impossible. But with God, everything is possible. Let's go ahead and pray. God, I thank you so much for who you are and for this word this morning. Because the reality is, we're up against stuff all the time. And we need you so much. God, we need your Spirit to fuel our spirit, that we can be alive. And so I pray for life to happen in this room today. God, I pray that if we are closed off to your spirit, if we are stiff-arming you, God, that you would soften our hearts and that you would bring about these spiritual memories that allow us to remember your faithfulness towards us, God. I pray that you take the words of this song and that you speak them into the deepest parts of our hearts to see and be reminded of our need for Jesus. God, we love you. God, this time is yours. Amen.